So we are picking up in our series, He Is Risen. This is our post-Easter, post-resurrection sermon series. And so we are picking up in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this passage this morning, we pray that you would breathe new life into it and that it would come a new life and meaning for us. We pray that we would see your living word moving and working in our lives, that we would be reminded that you are an unchanging but living God. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I said, we're here in our post-resurrection sermon series, our post-Easter sermon series. On Easter morning and then the Sunday afterwards, we saw that Jesus didn't need for somebody else to roll the stones away in order for him to escape the tomb, that he has the power to raise himself, that he didn't need for someone to let him out. But the stones were rolled away in order that others might see the evidence of his resurrection. And we talked about how God continues to remove the stones in our lives so that we can see him moving and working. And then last week we saw how Jesus didn't need for the door to be unlocked, but he was able to appear with his disciples wherever, whenever they were. And he does the same in our lives. So he shows up no matter how we might try to lock him out. That Jesus shows up in our lives. And then in this passage today, we have this seemingly normal, you know, miraculous day in the lives of the disciples. Seemingly normal, miraculous day. Because on the surface, I mean, this is an interesting story. Some guys going fishing, Jesus showing up and eating with his disciples. I mean, it sounds like a normal, miraculous day with Jesus and his disciples. The difference here, well, not really a difference, but something to note, is this is post-resurrection again, and that in everything that Jesus does, there's a lesson to be learned, that there's meaning behind everything that Jesus does. So let's take a look at that. So one of the first things that I want to make note of is that this passage probably sounds a little bit familiar to you. This passage of Jesus calling out to his disciples on the water and saying, hey, throw your nets out on the other side after a long night of fishing. Remember that these are men who made their livelihood fishing. They knew what they were doing. They were professionals. And so the first time they were called to do this, they did so maybe reluctantly, but they caught a great amount of fish. And it was in this that Jesus called them to become his disciples, and he said, now I will make you fishers of men. So we see that at the beginning, and now here again. So Jesus has appeared to them, and we find the disciples, and it seems almost like they don't quite know what to do with themselves. And so, you know, they're no longer feeling the need to be hidden away or lock themselves away. But, you know, you have this group of guys, and they're thinking, well, what should we do with ourselves? Hey, let's go fishing. And so that's what they do. They go fishing. And in the midst of this, Jesus shows up, and again, it is because of the miraculous that it happens that Jesus says, cast your nets, and they catch this fish, and they recognize Jesus not by sight, but by what he is doing. And they're reminded of the call that Jesus has for them. They're reminded that the primary obligation of the church, of the followers of Jesus, is evangelism. That one of the primary objectives of the church, of the disciples, what Jesus was reminding his disciples, you're wondering what you're supposed to be doing right now, post-resurrection, after Easter. You know that I have risen. This is what you're supposed to be going out and doing, is fishing, but instead you're supposed to be fishing for men. And so Jesus, the disciples probably didn't recognize it in the moments. You know, but Jesus, this was becoming really a living parable of what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. In both accounts, the one at the beginning of their discipleship and here at their end of the time with Jesus, his earthly time, the disciples, you know, as I said, they were professional fishermen. And in both accounts, they had spent the night fishing. They would have known where they were supposed to go. They would have, they would have known how to catch fish. They would go at night because that was the best time to catch fish. And both times they didn't catch anything, which sometimes happens. Sometimes the harvest is slim, even if you know what you're doing. And so you have this group of professionals who know what they're doing, but in these instances, are failing. And then Jesus steps in, and suddenly their failures are turned into successes. That apart from Jesus, they weren't able to catch the fish that they wanted to catch, but as soon as Jesus steps in, fish are being caught. Christian theologian writer Muggeridge, he says this. He says, Christianity from Golgotha onwards has been the sanctification of failure. The Christianity from Golgotha onwards has been the sanctification of failure. We as humans are pretty good at messing things up. Whether it is in conversation or in action or whatever it might do. Our lives are full of mistakes. You know, we talk about how we learn from mistakes or we grow from mistakes. We're made stronger. Here we're reminded that our weaknesses, that in our weaknesses we are made strong by Jesus. That he takes moments where we might fail otherwise and moves and works in such a way that we find success. And so Jesus is reminding his disciples and us here that in the course of evangelism, we might be the most skilled people out there. We might know what we're doing. We might be great conversationalists. We might be really good at explaining the gospel message. We might know which neighborhoods, which people to talk to, which doors to knock on. We might be really good at providing food or resources. We might be really good at our job. But apart from Jesus Christ, our mission will fail. And so as we evangelize, it seems common sense that we go with Jesus or we follow after Jesus, but sometimes we get so bogged down in the semantics of doing that that we forget that we are to be following after Jesus and that Jesus makes all of the difference in the way that we're reaching people. So maybe we need to relax just a little bit to trust that Jesus has this. And then we simply need to keep on moving forward and trust that He is going to be the ultimate success maker, that He will take advantage of our failures. And so it's okay to mess up. It's okay to fail because He uses our weaknesses. And we can't allow our weaknesses or a lack of to prevent us from the doing. Because He perfects those imperfections, those weaknesses. Another thing to note here is Jesus empowered the disciples to catch a great multitude of fish. But when they arrived on shore, Jesus already had fish cooking. Jesus didn't need the disciples to catch fish, but He invited them to. Jesus didn't need anyone to do anything. He already had fish. He could have multiplied them if He wanted to. We've seen Jesus do this in the past. We've seen Him turn two fish into enough to feed 5,000 plus. Jesus doesn't need us to be fishers of men, but He invites us to. And why? So that we can share in the feast with Him. So Jesus had fish, but He says, hey, disciples, come and bring some of the fish that you've caught. Add them to the fire. Add them to the meal. Because really when you contribute, isn't there joy in that? Don't you? It takes it to the next step, you know, that next step of intimacy and enjoyment. You know, it's one of the great things. You know, churches are great at potlucks. And what's fun about potlucks is that everyone brings something and contributes it to the meal. You know, we as a church, we don't need to have potlucks. We could cater the food. You know, we're not financially in a place where we could never afford to have a meal. We could afford to cater a meal if we wanted to, but we have potlucks because it's fun. And it's enjoyable. In the same way, Jesus, He's inviting His disciples and He's saying, don't you want to be a part of this? I want to invite you into the joy of the kingdom. I want you to see the reward of it. To grow the family. And so Jesus, He reminds His disciples and us that we have a job to be doing. That in the normalcy of our lives, that we're to move beyond just being fishermen and into being fishers of men. That in the midst of our normal lives, we are supposed to be inviting others into relationship with Jesus Christ. But as we do so, we're reminded that success is not dependent upon us, that success is God's. But He invites us to be part of it because there's a reward in being part of it. There's enjoyment in it. He wants us to see, to enjoy what it means to grow, for the party to get bigger. Jesus steps into our lives wherever we are. He sees us. He hears us. He says, I love you. He begins to offer transformation for us. He says, I will move and work in your life where I will take those weaknesses and those imperfections and I will use them for my glory. And He begins to mold us in such a way that we look more and more like Him. And so as we engage in the world around us and we look more and more like Christ, when people see us, they begin to see a reflection of Christ in us. Jesus calls us to be part of the mission, to invite others in, because he knows that we will find joy in it. There's not obligation. There's not guilt. There's joy. Joy and invitation. Be a part of it, he says. Add to the meal. Make the family bigger. Enjoy it. And so that's what we're called to do. Go out and be fishers of men. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, many of us may be sitting here this morning saying that we have no skill or experience when it comes to fishing. Help us remember that we don't need a skill. We simply need to listen to you. Help us to be obedient and courageous and to place one foot in front of the other. We thank you and we praise you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.